Blog Talk Radio.
And as the Frankenstein music fades out, kudos to Mary Shelley on her great novel. This is Dr. John Stamey welcoming you to ScaryCast live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is a ScaryCast extra, and we have got the queen of ScaryCast with us, one of the very best friends that I have ever had, and I can't say enough good things about her, so I'm just going to say we love her to death, and we're going to go on. Robin McCray is with us tonight, the Queen of ScaryCast. Robin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Excited about this. We will see where it takes us.
Well, I am too, because I asked you, I am working on a book with John LeMay, who is our every first Monday night guest on ScaryCast. I'm working with him on a book about the Bladenboro Monster, the Bladenboro Beast, actually, and shapeshifters, and I told him I was going to write the greatest 40-page paper ever on shapeshifters. I've got a lot of material in my ScaryCast vault that I've saved. I've been looking at it. I've been working on it. You are the fourth and last person that I am interviewing because you are the best and the most important, and I will tell everybody on ScaryCast, because they're all going to hear this, and they're going to know just how much I think about you and your knowledge. I think you're one of the most important people, really, not even the Bigfoot world, but in the paranormal world, because you have so much experience. Is it okay that I say that, Robin?
Yeah, thank you. I think you're prejudiced, but thank you very much. I appreciate the compliment.
You know what? You're exactly right. I'm prejudiced, and I say what I think. So there you go, dear. I do, and want to say that you and your husband, Pat, are two of the most paranormal and wonderful people that I know. You're in the top three.
Thank you.
So there
you
go.
Thank you, Pat, and I love you.
Well, that's great, because we know what? We've been through lots of stuff ever since we met, and we've got a lot more to go through, and I'm looking forward to it. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk to Robin on the subject of shapeshifters. When I talked with Elijah Henderson, whose family are the most famous researchers in Land Between the Lakes, he kind of spilled the beans on a number of things. And so we're looking forward to finding out. Now, Robin, I want to ask you, the first question is, how would you define a shapeshifter? And then we'll go into some of the other legend and lore about shapeshifters. But how would you describe a shapeshifter and define it?
I don't think that a shapeshifter is just one entity. You know, like you have your Bigfoot, you have your dog men, you have your lizard men. I don't think a shapeshifter is just one entity. I think that's an ability that all these things have, because you have all your cryptids that have the ability to do that. Your ETs have the ability to do that. So you may have some kind of entity, you know, where that may shapeshift more than others. But I personally, from my experience and from what I've seen, shapeshifter, in my mind, I don't think of it as just one entity. It's an ability. And all of these things have it. They really and truly do. I've watched them do it. Security cameras on the front of the house, And I've watched them on the security camera. What it does is it feeds it into an app that I had on my tablet, and I literally watched them do it. So I've seen them when they have. And like I said, the ETs can do it. The Bigfoots can do it. The Dogmen can do it. Any of the cryptids has that ability to shapeshift.
Yes, hello, I'm sorry. I'm sitting there with Elijah Henderson, and I talked to him about the story of the shapeshifter that I saw with you, about the young man that walked directly through the door. And the first thing you said was,
I remember that.
That's a shapeshifter. And then and I told you the landlord tried to go in and talk to him, opened the door, the TV was on, and he was not there. And obviously he had shapeshifted. He had disappeared. Now, disappearing is another hallmark trait of a shapeshifter, correct?
I'm not going to say yes or no, because that part, I mean, they cloak. Is it possible that people are calling the entity of a shape? Yeah. I mean, is it possible that whatever entity they're calling as a shapeshifter vanishes like that? It's absolutely possible. More than likely, it's a matter of they completely cloak. They don't do a shimmer. They're just completely cloaked, and you don't see them. You can walk right in there, and you'll never know they're there unless you can read their energy signature.
Right, and they're standing there watching you smiling, and they're saying, well, where is
the
guy?
Yeah.
Right, and so what experiences have you had or have you seen with shapeshifters? That, I think that would be the next question that I have for you. Tell us a little bit about your experience with those that can shapeshift, and when have they done so?
Well, first I want to add to what we said before. The other option, if they don't cloak, is they simply open a rift or a portal and they just go right into it and they're gone, because they have portal rifts or portals that are a temporary portal where they can just open up no matter where they're at. So that's the other option too, to get them out of the room. And that's, again, that's something that any cryptid or ET can do, or any paranormal ability, any type of paranormal being. Now, what I saw here, like I said, we had the cameras in the front of the house that were for security, and it wasn't really security. I like to watch the deer and the wildlife in the front yard. That's all it was for. It wasn't for anything else. And I had it up on the tablet, and I was watching it, and it looked like this massive black deer, which normally deer aren't black unless you get the swamp deer and then they're dark in color. But it was massive. It was like the size of an elk or a small moose. And I watched it. I don't even know where it came from. It just showed up at the edge of the yard, and it walked over along the bushes that go on the one side of the property. And there are all these really big scrub bushes and everything, and these giant pine trees that go up like 25, 30 feet up in the air. And it's real thick through there. And I watched it walk up there. And as it walked up there, it stopped at the bushes. And again, I couldn't make out facial features on it. It was just this blacked out, massive deer type thing. And it went up on its hind legs, and it started using its front legs like hands. It was reaching up on the trees. It was grabbing branches and pulling the branches down, and it was pulling stuff off the branches. And I'm like, deer, you know, a deer can't do that. I mean, this isn't eating the branches. It was pulling it down. And when it stood up, it was massive. And then it walked from that tree to the next, and I'm like, what is going on? By the time it got to the next one, it had morphed into a Bigfoot. And it physically changed shape. Then it walked to my garage, and I'm watching this all on the security camera. It walked to the garage, walked along the front of the garage to my front porch, and literally sat down on the step of the front porch. And it sat there for a minute, and I had out in the middle of my yard, I would put birdseed down for the cardinals. And it went from there, and it did. When we were kids, we used to, what they called the duck walk, where you sit kind of like on the back of your calves and you walk like a duck. And it did that, still, you know, looked like a Bigfoot, but it did that walk all the way to the pile of the bird seed, and it reached with its hands. It was grabbing the bird seed and popping it in its mouth, and then it shape-shifted again. And this time when it shape-shifted, it looked like a regular raccoon. It was absolute craziness. And then it looked around, and it scampered off, and it went across the road and into the tree line. And at that point in time, it looked exactly like a raccoon.
Right, and for everyone, and now Robin, for everybody else across the road, you have reported that there is a portal there, and I have been there,
yes,
and I have seen extremely strange activity. So nobody needs to tell me that it's not there. I've seen it.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, so there we go. There we
directly across the driveway. Is that portal. And we actually have a photo that Pat took, and it's got a giant head floating out of that portal. And then another one I had taken at another time, and it looks like these gold bars floating out of it. I mean, it's really bizarre. And then that whole tree line, because it's like a 200-acre pine tree farm across from us, and we live on a two-track dirt road out in the middle of nowhere. And across the street is this 200-acre pine tree farm, and I've gotten pictures of cat people, Bigfoot, dogmen, ETs. I mean, you name it, we get some really crazy stuff out of there at any given day. I mean, it's just absolute insanity, the stuff that goes on over there. So, you know, it's normal, but we've seen them in the yard where they look one way one minute and they just change. They change their physical appearance.
All right. Now I want to see what you think about Elijah Henderson's comment. As he said that there are two types of shapeshifters. One changes its biological structure, and the other one is more of a holographic shapeshifter. It changes the appearance, but it doesn't necessarily change its molecular structure, its biological structure. What do you think about that?
Oh, I agree 100%. I think it's very valid. When they do this holographic type thing, it's almost like, and from what I've seen, an overlay of something else. Now, what happens with me, because I'm the resident weirdo, is I can look at something and see the shape that it presents to everybody to see, and it's almost like I can look through it and I can see what it actually in reality is. So I see two shapes. I see what it actually is inside, and then I see what it presents itself to be, which it comes in handy if you're dealing with entities that are, you know, trying to be deceptive or whatever. And it's definitely helped me. I was in Pennsylvania one time, and there was one that supposedly looked like a human, and when I would see it, I could see a reptile. So it was actually really helpful for me, because when it tried to attack me in the hotel room, it was much easier knowing what I was dealing with. But that's
right.
What they do with the hologram. That's how it changes when they do the hologram. So they're keeping their actual self, but it's almost like it's an overlay that looks like a hologram. And then you have the type that really they raise the energy and the vibration, and they change their whole molecular structure, and they become something else. This is where,
I've got a question for you. And a lot of people will think that this is the most insane question of all time, but I don't believe it is. The 1988 movie They Live, starring the wrestler Roddy Piper, when he put on certain glasses and he could see some people being basically space aliens. Are you familiar with that film?
No, I've never seen it.
Okay. So, but you understand the premise that with certain glasses, you can see that someone's a space alien. Pretty simple premise. Do you believe that such glasses or structures might exist that we could actually see that somebody is a reptilian? That's a crazy question, but I've always wanted to ask that question. Now I have a chance.
Well, first of all, that's how I see things. I don't need the glasses. That's just how I see it. Like when I see somebody, if that's not their true self that is being portrayed, I see it. In itself is kind of freaky. But
okay.
As far as do they actually have these kind of glasses, I think that our military probably does. That would not surprise me. Do I have, you know, I don't have any confirmation of that, obviously. Would it surprise me? No.
Okay.
Because
all right, now
really, when you look at our world, we have had ETs and other entities walking amongst us for hundreds and hundreds of years. They've always been here. It's not like they just showed up yesterday.
More like thousands and thousands of
years.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree completely. And they shape-shift into other things.
And you see all these reports in the Bible, and the Bible is full of paranormal events, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. All you have to do when you're looking at the Bible is actually read it. You know, people read it and they blank over things because it has been imprinted in our brains the world is supposed to be. But that world never existed. Never. It's
right.
What we were
right.
taught
and
it was. And that's all an illusion.
And if you want to talk about giants, for God's sake, there's Goliath described in the Bible as about like 13 feet tall. Now, come on.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I
the
mean,
giants are still around.
Everybody needs to grow up, and I'm sorry, I'm just.
No, but it's true.
Pardon my grammar, they need to damn grow up. They really do, because we've got Bibles described. We have prophets being elevated up into the sky while they're taken up by UFOs. Now, come on. I mean, it just takes a ship to take someone up. And so it's like, why don't we believe? You know, it's funny. About the Bible, we believe in the Bible, yet we interpret it a different way than it is literally written. Do you agree
exactly.
with that?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think when we go to interpret it, we interpret it to what we mentally can accept. And I think that when we read the parts that would confirm the things that, like, you and I are talking about, people just blank over the top of it because they can't accept it because they've always been led to believe it doesn't exist. So they, when they look at it and they're reading the Bible and they get to these parts that talk about this, it's like their brain doesn't acknowledge it. They just keep on going.
All right. Well, now let me ask you this, because you're the queen of Scarycast. I would like for you and Reverend Lynn Myers to have a discussion on Scarycast. Would you prefer it to be with just me on a Scarycast Extra, or would you prefer it to be with the whole group with Kyler and Dr. Trey? Which one would you prefer?
For me, I'm fine either way. You know, sometimes it's good to have the other co-host weigh in.
Why don't you just tell me and I'll do it, okay?
I kind of would like, you know, everybody to kind of weigh in on it. I think sometimes that takes a little bit of the pressure off. I think a lot of Lynn, I think he's a wonderful person. We share very different viewpoints, and that's okay. I have no issue with that at all. I mean, that's how we learn, is with everybody's different viewpoints, so that's a good thing. But when you have the other cast in there too, I think it takes a little bit of that pressure off so it doesn't get real intense.
Right. And I'll tell you, I like Lynn Myers as much as anyone I've ever met. He is a gentleman. He's a gentleman. He's a scholar. He's a preacher, as we say in the South. He's a preacher. And he's a very good man. And what I really like about Lynn is that he keeps wanting to talk about this with me. And it's like, I don't have any other preachers, as we call them. I don't have any other preachers that want to talk with me about this. And so that's, I love Lynn Myers, and all I got to say is Robin.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to tell you a very weird statement. On my final when we have my funeral, I want Lynn Myers to preside at my funeral. Because I know you'll
be
there too.
Of course.
I want Lynn Myers, absolutely I do, because I have the full faith and trust in God and Lynn Myers. I just think he's, in fact, I need to tell him that, and I need to tell my attorney that so he gets that right. And I hope you guys all perceive me well. I don't know. I hope none of us die. But I'm just saying I like Lynn Myers so much. He is a most incredible person. And I'm so glad that he's going to be with us at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, April the 1st, 2023. It's going to be
I'm excited.
Legendary. It's going to be legendary. And if we get the very special guest that you're going to speak with within a week, it will be unbelievable. It will go off the charts. So anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, that I wanted everyone to know how much I love Lynn Myers. He is like, I can call him up. He's a good preacher for me. I can call and talk to him like a preacher should talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Anyway, in fact, so we'll have Reverend Lynn and you and we'll do it on the regular Scary Cast, and it'll be a lot of fun. Now, just so that everybody knows, the last weekend of January, we're going to have Spencer Fisher back. I just interviewed him. He was just, as usual, he's just on target, on spot. He's great. He is one of the most interesting people I've ever met. So anyway, just want to let everybody know that. But Robin, I tell you what, you have given a good characterization of shapeshifters. I want to ask you one more question, and I would like for you to detail to everybody the experience you had a couple of months ago with a young man that knocked on your door.
Yeah, that was definitely different. This gentleman came to my home and came up on the steps. I don't know if he knew I was home or not, but he never made it to the door because I have a large amount of dogs. And these dogs just didn't bark like a normal, you know, they normally would if someone came to the door.
If I come to the door, it's bow, wow, 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 and Chester is dying
loud.
To get him.
Exactly.
And,
it's loud. It's obnoxious. But it's not, they're not trying to kill you.
Chester wants to love him. I'm sorry. We're going to give Chester his time. He wants to love on me. He wants me to hold him. And I can't wait
to
see Chester.
That's because you feed him everything. Yeah.
I think Chester loves me. I do.
He does.
He's a good boy. He's a good boy.
But this was different. They were not just barking because there was someone new out there. I mean, they wanted harm. You know, they really did. They were mad. They were angry. And just trying to, I have a door and then I have glass panels on either side of the door and above the door. And they were trying to go through the glass panels on the side of the door. So I went out on the porch and he stopped. He looked very surprised I was even there. And he said, well, you know, that's a lot of dogs. And I instinctively knew there's something wrong with this guy. Like I got the worst vibe from him and the dogs were just going crazy. And I said, well, that's not even all of them because it wasn't. And I said, they don't like strangers. And he kind of looked at me funny, and he never went farther up the steps. The thing about him that was very odd to me, his skin was very pale, and it almost was rubbery. I mean, that's what it looked like. Nobody has that clear a complexion. I don't care who you are. And his hair, the way his hair was absolutely too perfect. Like, I don't care how much hairspray you use, how much styling mousse, it's not going to be as perfect as this was. It literally was crazy. And it's over 100 degrees out. He's wearing a long white sleeve, long white dress sleeve shirt buttoned up and khaki pants. And he asked, you know, if I was Robin McCray. I said, yeah, I was. And he said, oh, I came to talk to you. And I said, and you would be. And he proceeded with this conversation of who he claimed to be, which we later, when we did some investigating on it, it turned out that he had some contacts with some government agencies that I'd rather not deal with. And I said, what can I help you with? And he said, you know, you are not responding to our messages. And I said, what are you talking about? What messages? And he couldn't tell me. He didn't tell me how I wasn't responding. Did they send a text, a letter, an email, a phone call, whatever? He refused to tell me. He just said that I wasn't responding, that he was there to help me make good choices. And I said, choices about what? He couldn't tell me that either. He wouldn't give me his name. He wouldn't give me any information of any kind. Didn't have a business card. Had nothing with his contact information on it. I never did get a name, but he was out there for quite some time, and we kept going in this vicious circle. But again, he did not look real. I don't care what anybody says. He was not human. Whatever this thing was, he had shapeshifted into whatever he was supposed to look like to get in contact with me. And I kept saying, are you selling something? No, I don't have anything to sell you. I said, well, are you, you know, what do you mean by good choices? Are you selling life insurance or whatever? No, I'm not selling anything.
That's right. And Robin, I want to stop you. You called me up and you said, this guy was trying to sell me life insurance, but he refused to tell me the company. And it was great. It was like, I said, no, he wasn't. It was the coolest conversation that you and I have ever had.
Yeah, and I said to him, are you trying to sell me life insurance? And he said, no, I'm not selling you anything. And I said, what kind of choices are you wanting to help me make? And he wouldn't pinpoint that either. It was, well, any kind of choices that you feel that you need to make in your life. And I said, well, I'm pretty confident with the choices I've made. Thank you. And he said, are you sure about that? And I said, why don't you be more specific and tell me what kind of choices you're talking about? He said, well, you didn't respond when we tried to contact you, and if you don't respond to us, then we come to you. And I said, why would you come to me? Like, I didn't ask you here. And he gave me a piece of paper with these three letters on the top that later, once we dug on it, turned out to be a form of a government agency. And I said, which particular agency I know has contact with the ETs. And everything on the paper was my personal information, nothing about them. Nothing about him. And I said, I see all my information here. And it looked like a paper that a 12-year-old would have pulled off the internet. I mean, this was not professional at all. And I said, the only address I see on here is a P.O. box, and the letters are, and the numbers are so light on it, I can't even read that. I said, why don't you give me your phone number? And if I find that there's anything that you can help me with, you know, I will be more than happy to contact you. And he said, you don't need my phone number. And I said, well, how am I supposed to contact you? You claim you're here to help me make choices. What am I supposed to do if I do need you? And there's no phone number. I said, do you have a business card? And he said, no. And I said, well, give me your pen, and I'll write your phone number on the sheet. And he about had a fit. He grabbed the sheet right out of my hand, and he said, that's mine for my notes. And I said, there's no notes on here. And he jerked it out of my hand and kept it. I never did get it back. But he couldn't tell me a company, couldn't tell me his name, couldn't give me a phone number. I said, where are you located out of? He couldn't do that either. And I knew this thing was not human. I knew he wasn't. And my daughter came downstairs because she heard the dogs going crazy. And she walked out there. And as soon as he saw that she was here, he couldn't get out of here fast enough. He didn't want anybody else to see him other than me. And when he came, he pulled in sideways in my driveway, and he parked behind a tree. So you really wouldn't notice him if you were driving down the road. I mean, he didn't go in my driveway. He went sideways across my driveway and parked behind a big tree so he couldn't be seen from the road. And his windows were all blacked out.
Well, it's hard to know what to say. I will say that that might be a little bit of the behavior of the Mothman. If I think of all the cryptids and all the entities that I know, it might not be. But I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, no, I took it as a veiled threat, and I took it as it was an ET that is involved with our government. Whether or not that's right, I don't know. I don't have any proof of it, but that's how I saw it. That's what, when I looked at him, all I could see was an ET. I did not see human. His face was pale, And that was fine, but it was flawless. It was almost like it was rubbered, you know, and the hair was just too perfect. And here we're over 100 degrees and he's wearing long sleeve shirt, you know, but what kind of a businessman from any business doesn't have a business card, doesn't have a phone number, doesn't have a name, doesn't have an address or anything, and then come to my door to tell me he's there to help me make good choices, but then not tell me what kind of choices he's referring to.
Well,
you know, and brings his car in, hides it behind a tree and has blacked out windows. And I've seen that same car go by my house 3 times now.
Well, I don't know what to say other than it was a heck of an experience.
It was definitely unique. But, you know, I have seen him, you know, various things shapeshift. Multiple people, multiple contacts that I have with people that I've worked with have seen them shapeshift the Sasquatch into various things. You know, the same thing with the ETs. I mean, shapeshifting, I think, is just, for them, anyway, it's just a natural ability. They change the molecular structure of their body at whim. They do the same thing. They'll be in physical form outside. If they want to enter your home, they go into what they call spirit form, and they can simply walk in through a wall. I've had it happen multiple times. I've seen it. Pat's seen it. I know tons of people that have had that happen. And they're now in a shadowy form, even though you can see their features and you can see them. And they do that. They raise that energy. They raise the vibrations. It changes the molecular, and I don't say that right, structure of their body to do so. And they do the same thing whenever they want to change shapes.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, what more can you say? I mean,
now, the last time I was abducted in May, the ones that had come in the house, they were standing at the end of the bed. And at first when I saw them, they looked like in physical form. And then the more I was able to process it and think about it, it was more of the holographic. And the ETs, that's the other thing, ETs, it's not uncommon for them to send these drone-type things in where you think that you're actually dealing with them, and it's actually a drone that does more of the holographic outer shell. And that's all it is a hologram. And they can shape-shift any way they want.
Well, I certainly believe that, and it's great that you've been able to tell us that on here, because I wanted to talk to you about shapeshifters, and I really, really, really appreciate it. So I tell you what, Robin, you know, I wanted to thank you very much. I mean, the whole purpose of this was to talk about shapeshifting, and you have given us a couple of great examples. And I also asked you about Lynn Myers. We'll have him on ScaryCast.
Sure. Yeah, I like Lynn. I have no problem with Lynn at all. Like I said,
I think we
come from two different angles, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, I think everybody has the right to their opinion and their beliefs, and I have full respect for that. So, yeah, I think that would be great.
And you know what? We can discuss, actually, where do these opinions come from? Because I think that's a very important thing for me to try to understand is where do they come from? And so basically, you and Lynn will be our guests, and it will be me, Kyler, and Trey Dunaway talking to you guys about these things. And I think it's important to know where does one's religion come from? Don't you think that's an interesting question?
I think it is, because I think that, you know, the Bible, and this is just my opinion, doesn't make it right. You've got all these different religions. And I think the basis always started with the same Bible, and they've rewritten it for their religion. And they all believe it's right, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it comes down to interpretation. I think people on every level, not just the Bible, but on all things in life, it comes down to interpretation. Everybody sees things through their own eyes, and they process it their own way, and they have their own thoughts and views on it. I mean, it's just a fact. And I think the Bible's no different. You know, looking at the same Bible, everybody takes away something different from it. And again, that's not a bad thing. It's everybody's process system. It's, you know, how they interpret the written word. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Okay. I mean, and I certainly agree. So anyway, we'll find out when we get you and Lynn Myers on ScaryCast. That'll be probably the third week in January, and I'll discuss that with him. And wanted to say thank you very much for being a guest on our ScaryCast Extra to talk about shapeshifters.
Thank you so much.
You've given us a lot of perspective and some really great examples, especially the fact that you say it's just an ability. It's not a specific genome and species and phylum. It's
right.
An ability that everybody has. So that's really cool. So I wanted to say thank you very much. We were glad you're here. And we'll see you next Monday night, because that'll be John LeMay night on ScaryCast. All right, well, look,
yeah,
I want to say
John.
Thank you very much. Let me get everything going here. Let me get the British lady and everybody. Oh, come on. Get the British lady talking and everything so that we can sign off. But I wanted to say I really appreciate it, and we really look forward to having you and your husband, Pat, on ScaryCast as Mr. and Mrs. Bigfoot. That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
All right, so look, thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time on ScaryCast. Say goodbye, Robin.
Take care. Bye.